On our way home, Dr. Paul, we stopped in Philadelphia. Me and my wife, we decided to walk through the streets, and it was the first time in years that we've done it. And boy, what a different story than from Washington. Places were boarded up. There were homeless on, I would say, every single street corner. And I even, for the first time in my life, he was maybe a 10-year-old boy up and asking me for money. I've never experienced that in America. So Dr. Paul, please explain how the middle class is getting squashed by this unchecked power that we're talking about today.
Yes, and that is going to continue. But there was a pretty astute prediction made by Mises many, many years ago, because he made this point, and I'm sure the other early Austrian economists made the same point, but I remember reading it in Human Action, and he said that if you destroy a currency, a sound currency, which was the restraining instrument on spending, because you can't print gold, so there would be always restraints. You'd have to ask the people for the money, because you'd have to through taxation and all. So, but he said, when you destroy a currency, you always destroy the middle class. And it keeps coming back to me because you witnessed it. You saw it there. And, you know, getting the right image is pretty important. Now, Chris, if you look at the crowd that we had there, you know, we had a sellout crowd and a lot of young people. I was delighted to see people there. And, boy, were they with us. And we had a lot of talk about how unfair the government is to the people who tell the truth. Don't tell the truth. You can get in a lot of trouble. And that was we heard some sad story. So Washington, D.C., or the streets of Philadelphia, or inner cities of Detroit and Chicago, that isn't really America. The America that I like to think about will be at these crowds that I have seen at the universities, in spite of the image that universities are getting right now. But you can still find a nucleus, a remnant of people, some active individuals who are interested in trying to fix these problems. And it's a completely different story. If you go to a Mises function and all the college kids are there, and I mentioned in my talk the other day about how many professors, have been, encouraged to go through the Mises Institute. Thousands, and then they have thousands and thousands of people they influence, and that is where the action is. So there is something going on in this country. In the 20s, you know, everybody believed in capitalism and the gold standard, and even Roosevelt ran on that. At the same time, the universities were filled with the incoming influx of the progressive era professors, the socialists, and then communists and all, and they're still pretty much loaded with them, but there is a different type of infiltration now with more decent ideas, the ideas of liberty. And that's where we've had this tremendous refinement on the understanding of monetary policy and economic policy. So even though when you walk on the streets of Philadelphia, it might give you an incentive for us to work harder, but we have to look to the good side of it and what can happen. So I'm looking forward to some positive things that we hope we see come about here in the next decade or two.
Yes, it was very encouraging. There were so many people coming up, shaking our hands, saying they love the Liberty Report and everything we're doing. And as much as we focus on the problems, and they have to be pointed out, there is a silver lining, and there is a remnant out there. That and you made a great point in your speech at the conference that, you know, when the American revolutionaries were spreading the message of liberty, they weren't doing it in front of 100,000 people. They were doing it in small groups here and there. And we have the ability to do that today, especially with social media, to just get the message of liberty out there. And don't worry about who believes and who doesn't believe, but whatever they hear, they can't unhear. And whatever they see, if you make a video, they can't unsee it. It's in their mind forever. So I think we do have a way out of this, as bad as it is. And if you could close the show, giving our viewers a positive message to be optimistic despite this unchecked power that is streaming right at us.
Very good, Chris. And I want to thank you for being our co-host today. And I'll be back talking with you soon. But I want to just mention to our viewers and follow up on exactly what Chris was saying. Because without some hope and some optimism, you might as well go hide yourself in a hole. The other thing, though, that I think is neat about it, and we sensed this at our meeting in Alexandria, and that is that when you meet people that have the same concerns and same interests, and because they have this sense that they're all by themselves and they're with other people, and I said this very often on college campuses, that yes, it's hard work. It's hard work. You have to study and organize and campaign and do all this, but you have to have some fun doing it. And it is. It's fun associating with other individuals. But you do want to see success. And the whole thing is ideas do have consequences. It's the only thing really that counts. You couldn't have had our system deteriorate like it has recently without the progressivism and the philosophers and the teachers, from the beginning of the last century, who changed our foreign policy, who changed our monetary policy, gave us the Federal Reserve, changed our attitude about the income tax, taxing individuals. That's all part of that era. But it was ideological before it was practical in the mainstream. But you do have to get support from a large number of people to go along. But they'll go along. The majority goes along if they believe it's in their self-interest. You have to show people that their interests are best served in liberty, and that just being dependent on government is a negative. And now that's all we're seeing now, the consequence of big government, the failure of big government. And yet there is a much louder clamor for bigger government. But the noise you hear in Washington and the support you get and the coalitions to come together with Republicans and Democrats and fighting these wars constantly, which make no sense, and continuing with the deficits. And of course, no matter what they say in Washington, they are going to cling to this whole principle of a central bank printing money at will, because it can't work any other way, because you can't tax people for all this and nobody's going to take the cuts. But the dollar will be devalued. It's doing that right now. If this will end because the real wealth of the country is shrinking. But the whole effort has to be designed to get the maximum number of people that we can find to understand what it is to believe in personal liberty and why it's a God-given right to have a right to your life, a right to your liberty, and a right to use that as you see fit, even if you make mistakes. You know, it's a wonderful system because, obviously, if you look at the record, there is no doubt the freer society, the more prosperous it has been, and the larger the middle class. I think that sounds like a pretty good idea to me.